All right, how many here tonight are excited about God's Word? Getting into God's Word. Come on, guys. Got to be excited about God's Word, okay? Tonight's message is Renewed Hope, the Anchor to Our Soul. Renewed Hope, the Anchor to Our Soul. That's been the theme this month. And friend, I don't know what happened to you in 2013. Only God and you know what occurred in your life in 2013. Maybe you went through a rough year last year. Maybe you experienced some type of loss. Maybe the loss of a job, the loss of a career, maybe the loss of a relationship. And as a result, maybe you became heavily addicted to drugs and alcohol. And maybe you feel like tonight, man, I lost that job, I lost that career. At my age, I won't be able to get a job like the one I had again. Or you might be thinking tonight, I lost that spouse through death or through divorce. And at my age, who would want me? I can't have another relationship. And so you're maybe going through a tough time in your life tonight. And it may seem tonight that maybe you're in a dark valley. Maybe tonight you are in a dark tunnel. Maybe there's darkness all around you. Maybe there's confusion around you, and all you can see is this tunnel of darkness. And you might be thinking tonight, will my situation ever brighten up? And so you feel despondent tonight. Maybe you feel depressed. Maybe you're stuck in this cave of depression, feeling so low in your emotions. And I've been there, friend. I've been depressed before. And depression tries to isolate you from associating with other people. Depression tries to keep you alone. It stops you from eating. It stops you from wanting to operate normally in life. But I've got good news for you here tonight. I've got good news. We serve a God of hope. Say it with me. We serve a God of hope. I'm going to read you a quote of Chuck Swindoll from the Speaker's Quote Book, and it says this concerning hope. He says, "Hope is a wonderful gift from God, a source of strength and courage in the face of life's harshest trials. When we are trapped in a tunnel of misery, hope points to light at the end. When we are overworked and exhausted, hope gives us fresh energy. When we are discouraged, hope lifts our spirits. When we are tempted to quit, hope keeps us going." That's good, isn't it? All right. So what is hope, as Swindoll puts it and as I paraphrase it? This is what hope is. Hope is that ray of light at the end of your dark and difficult tunnel. Let me say it again. Hope is that flickering of light, that ray of light at the end of your dark and tough tunnel. It's a confident expectation that God has got something good in store for your life. Let me say it again. Hope is confident expectation. Let's concentrate on those two words. Confident expectation. It's confident. It's not wishy-washy. It's a knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God has got something great. God has got something awesome in store for your life. Say it with me. Hope is confident expectation. In Jesus' name, amen. And as the great evangelist Oral Roberts used to say it, something good is going to happen for you. Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that God has got something good in store for your life. It may seem dark right now in your tunnel, but there is a flicker of hope. There is a light at the end of this dark tunnel. You're not on this earth by accident. You are on this earth with a God-given divine end and destiny. Let's read Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Now, in Jeremiah, you've got to understand that the background of this. Jeremiah was a prophet to Judah. And the people of Judah had sinned against God. They started worshiping other gods. They turned their back on God, and God's wrath was incited. So He disciplined them, and He had them exiled to the nation of Babylon. So the people of Judah were exiled to the nation of Babylon for 70 years, and Jeremiah sent a letter to the exiles, and he said, you know, settle down in Babylon here and, you know, for the next 70 years. But then he had a word of hope for them, and he says this. In verse 10 of Jeremiah 29, this is what the Lord says: "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place." What place? Jerusalem. Verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Now you've got to realize that the people of Judah perhaps were in a dark tunnel. They were in a nation not their own. They were in Babylon. It was probably dark. They were going through tough times. They were being disciplined for having turned their backs on God. But in the midst of that dark tunnel, there was a flicker of hope. Jeremiah the prophet in the letter says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." And that's the word for us tonight in 2014. God knows the plans He has for you, plans to give you a hope and a future. There is a hope for your life. There is confident expectation that God has got something good. God has got something awesome in store for your life. Amen? Amen. Say it with me. God has got something awesome in store for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight's text, the main text, comes from Romans chapter 4, verses 17 through 21. Romans chapter 4, verses 17 through 21. This is about Abraham, the patriarch of the Old Testament. How many here know about Abraham? How many here know about Abraham? Okay. Abraham. God spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, and said, "Abraham, I am going to make you into a great nation." He was 75 years old. You can read that in Genesis 12. "I'm going to make you into a great nation." When he was 75, and when he was 100 years old, in Genesis 21, verses 1 through 5, Isaac, the promised son, was born through whom the great nation would come. So Abraham, if you take 100 minus 75, what do you have? What's 100 minus 75? 25 years. Abraham waited 25 years for the promise of God to be made real in his life. 25 years. He was 100 years old, past the age of childbearing. Sarah was 90. Her womb was dried up. But yet God came through for Abraham. Amen? And He can do the same for us. Abraham was a man just like us. And God is no respecter of persons. If He did it for him, He can do it for you and for me. Is that good news here tonight? Romans chapter 4, verse 17. About Abraham. "As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were." Verse 18, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised." I want to back up to verse 18 of Romans chapter 4. Look at these words. "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed." What does this mean, against all hope? Against all hope. Against all common sense, logic, and reason, Abraham in hope believed. What did common sense say? What did logic say? What did reason say? It would say, "Abraham, you're 100 years old. There is no way in this earth that you could have a child." But against that logic, that reason, against that common sense, in hope, Abraham still believed and became the father of many nations. Friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that we serve a God who works outside the boundaries of human logic, reason, and common sense. Let me say it again. We serve a God who works outside the boundaries of human logic, reason, and common sense. We serve a God who specializes in making the impossible possible in your life. The Word of God says that for nothing will be impossible with God. Is that good news here tonight?
Yes.
We serve a miracle-working God, the same God who did the miracle for Abraham thousands of years ago and gave him a son in his old age is the same God who can do the miracle in your life that He has promised you. There is light, there is a flicker of light at the end of your tunnel. There is hope for you. Could you say amen? Amen. It may seem to be against all common sense, logic, and reason to make this. Let's say you lost that job that I talked about earlier. You were at a job for 25 or 30 years. You were making pretty good money. And just out of nowhere, you were fired. You lost the job. You might be thinking, man, I'm close to retirement age. There's no way I can get another job making the same amount of money that I made while I was working the other job. Well, guess what? It may seem like it's against logic, common sense, and reason, but guess what? God can do it for you. He can give you another job making the same amount you made at the last job. We serve a God who makes the impossible possible. Maybe you were married for 25 or 30 years, and maybe that spouse died. Maybe she left you high and dry. You might be thinking, man, you know, at my age, there's no way that I could get married again. Well, guess what? We serve a God who specializes in working outside the boundaries of logic and human reason. God can miraculously bring somebody else into your life. Is that good news? Is that encouraging here tonight? You know, maybe you got a diagnosis of a serious illness, maybe diabetes. And the doctors are saying there's nothing else we could do. We've done all that we can do. And maybe it's outside the boundaries of, it's against the boundaries of common sense, logic, and reason that you'd ever get healed. But guess what? We serve a God that works outside those boundaries. We serve a God who is the God of the impossible. Serve a God of the impossible. And it says about Abraham, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Without weakening in his faith. He had faith in God. He had a persevering faith. He had a faith that did not quit. He had a faith that did not give up. He was confidently expectant that the promise that God gave to him would be manifest in your life. My question to you tonight is this. Are you confidently expectant that the promise that God has given to you will be made real in your life? Do you have that confidence expectation? I want to talk about faith. The only way to see that light at the end of the tunnel in your life is by faith in a big God. To know the all-sufficiency and faithfulness of the God we serve. Remember this, God is all-sufficient, God is faithful, God has got your back, God will never leave you, God will never forsake you. The only way, let me say it again, to see that flicker of light at the end of your dark tunnel is to have faith in this all-sufficient God. Amen? Amen. What is faith? When I say the word faith, what comes to your mind? What is faith? It's the opposite of fear, right? Now, fear and despair expect the worst possible outcome, right? Fear of the devil, tormenting fear, expects the worst possible outcome. But faith in God, on the other hand, expects what? Faith expects the best possible outcome in Jesus' name. Say it with me tonight. Faith expects the best possible outcome in Jesus' name. Amen. One last account here. Mark chapter 5. The woman who bled for 12 years. The woman who bled for 12 years. Mark chapter 5, verse 24. It says, a large crowd followed and pressed around Jesus. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around to the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered. And yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering now. It says this, that when she heard about Jesus in verse 27 of Mark chapter 5, she came up behind him in the crowd. It's like she had some knowledge about Jesus. She knew that the miracle worker was in her presence. She knew that Jesus worked miracles, and she had strong faith in Jesus. She was expecting the best possible outcome. She was confidently expectant. She had hope. She said, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And what did she do? She touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and he felt power going out of him and said, who touched me? The disciples said, Jesus, what do you mean, who touched you? There's people bumping into you all around you. But it was a different kind of touch. It was a touch of faith. This woman was confidently expectant. She was not wishy-washy. She knew that she knew that she knew that if she could touch the hem of Jesus' garment, she would be made whole. She was expecting by faith the best possible outcome. And friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that faith honors God. And if you honor God with your faith, He will honor your faith and give you the thing, the miracle that He has promised you. Is that good news? Faith. The only way to see that light at the end of your tunnel is by faith in an all-sufficient and faithful God. You might be wondering tonight, well, Jonathan, I've got some faith, but how do I increase my faith in God? That's a good question. How do you increase your faith in God expecting the best possible outcome? Because it's that faith that God honors. All right? How do you increase your faith in God? Friend, I encourage you, starting this new year, start reading the Bible. Start reading the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start reading about the miracle-working Jesus. Read about the miracles that He did in the four Gospels. Start increasing your faith. Start realizing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Jesus who did miracles 2,000 years ago in the Gospels is the same Jesus who lives in you and can do it for you in 2014. See, the books that we read influence our thinking. If you're reading bad news, guess what? You may get more pessimistic. Start reading the good news, the Word of God. Start reading the Gospel. Start meditating on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read about many, 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 many miracles that Jesus did. Casting demons out of the possessed. Opening up blind eyes, raising the dead. Jesus is the miracle-working God, and He never changes. And He wants to do that miracle in your life. Start reading the Gospels. Number two, remember the miracles God did for you in your past. Talking about that job you may have had, making good money, working there many years. Guess what? Who gave you that job? God gave you that job. Every good thing comes from the hand of God. God gave you that job. If He did it for you 25 years ago, He can do it for you today. He never changes. Remember back to the miracles God did for you. Anchor your faith on those miracles. That spouse that God gave you, that good spouse that maybe passed away. Who gave you that spouse? Who gave you that spouse? God gave you that spouse. If He did it for you 25 or 30 years ago, He can do it again for you today. Is that making sense? God is no respecter of time. He never changes. All right? If God healed you of an illness years ago and you're faced with a more serious diagnosis today, guess what? The God who did it for you years ago is the same God who can heal your cancer today. Anchor your faith on the miracles God did for you in the past. Amen? Amen. Every big thing and every little thing, good thing that has come into your life has come from the hand of God. The way to see light at the end of your tunnel, to see that flicker of hope, is by having faith in a big God, in an all-sufficient God, in a faithful God, in a God who will never leave you, a God who will never forsake you, a God who loves you so very much. Amen? Amen. Friend, there is hope for you. This year, 2014, can be different than 2013. God has got something good for you. God has got something good for you. Something good is going to happen for you. Just keep believing God. Don't give up. Abraham believed God 25 years for the promised son. And you've been believing a year. maybe 2 years, maybe 5 years. I encourage you, persevere in your faith, and God will honor that faith, that expectation of the best possible outcome. Start reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start anchoring your faith to the good things God has done for you in the past and can do for you again this year. Amen?
Amen?
You know, the first way to get out of the cave of hopelessness, the most important way to get out of the cave of hopelessness is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Everybody is born with a God-shaped vacuum that only Jesus can fill. If Jesus is not living on the inside of you, you're the most hopeless. It all starts with faith in Jesus. Hope begins with faith in Jesus. Relationship, friendship with Jesus Christ, God the Son.